This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It's another hour of Sports Daily. We're glad to be here with you on this Friday, getting you ready for a weekend. A big baseball weekend is on our brain with the Royals and the Tigers. We'll have Jalen Thompson later in the hour from the KC Star Royals beat reporter, our Royals insider, to talk more about that. We've got all kinds of stuff other than that that we want to hit on today. A lot of it, Tommy, has to do with the college sports world, the Big 12, what they're doing, what's potentially happening with March Madness. Let's get to the Big 12 part here off the top first, and then we can talk about what expansion might mean for the college basketball tournament and why that's getting some run. But up first is the Big 12, who, in an interview with Front Office Sports, Brett Yormark said other things among they are not right now looking to sell naming rights, and they are not looking right now to take on private equity partners. Now, we've talked for about the last year about how we think private equity may start to work its way into college athletics. And the reasons are, you know, they're pretty simple as to why that might be an option for some places. It's because they're about to need a whole bunch of money in a revenue share. And in the short term, while they try to figure out how all that works, a little revenue infusion would make things more flexible for them, right? Eventually, you're going to have to massage that out and you know, make the dollars and cents matter and be meaningful. But unless you want to, you know, be in a tough financial spot for a few years while you can do that, yeah, taking some private equity money would make some sense, right? And those guys can easily envision a return on their investment when you're talking about the big dollars of college athletics. So that it makes sense on both sides. But I don't know that I ever thought the Big 12 would be a major player in this right out of the gates, because the Big 12 is settled as far as realignment goes. There's nothing else they need to do in that world. Now, I suppose if they went in and they were trying to aggressively poach a team and they wanted the part of their offer to be, hey, we'll help you with your buyout. I mean, maybe that's a bit of a stretch. To me, the equity money makes more sense for schools specifically trying to get out of their current deals and pay those buyouts. So I never really thought, like, if I was the Big 12 either, because you don't want to give up a, you know, you don't want to give up a stake of what's to cut, which is what would happen if you took private equity. So I guess I never thought of them as somebody in that market as a league, but they must have been, or that question wouldn't have been asked by a business reporter to Brett Yormark. But I think it's too early for them to go down that road. I don't think they need to do that yet.
Yeah, it makes me wonder what the financial component is. And it could very well be. I mean, Yormark says that they're not willing to pursue that right now. Is it that, or is it that there's not a private equity firm that, you know, is willing to jump in right this second for the conference? It could be either one, and we won't know that. I mean, I would imagine the value of these conferences, even a conference like the Big 12, there's definitely, I would imagine, an ROI on that for any private equity firm that wants to come in and make an investment. But maybe it's not quite at the point yet where you know, one of those private equity groups feels like they want to jump in at this stage in the game. Maybe it's not until things get more permanently settled in the world of college athletics where, you know, private equity feels like it's secure enough for them to jump in. there's still a lot that is you know left to be settled in the world of college athletics. And if I'm a hedge fund, if I'm a private equity guy, and I'm looking at investments, yeah, there might be an ROI there. There probably is an ROI there to invest in a specific conference, whether it be the Big 12 or otherwise. But there's still so much instability right now in college athletics in general, and we don't even know from a legal perspective and from politicians and all of that what it's going to look like when the dust settles. I may want to stay out of that game until I know for sure what the playing field actually looks like.
Unless the price is right, you know. So I'm with you. I totally agree. I don't know if that's the reason that they didn't do something, but I would be in this. I would be the same way. I also don't know what the value in a league is versus a school specifically. I don't know, like, what stake are you buying into if you're doing that with the Big 12? Because the money, the big money that the Big 12 makes goes to the schools. It's split up among the schools. So, like, I'd rather be an investor in one of the athletic departments at a school who I know is taking a revenue share. I don't know what's there for the Big 12. Like, what is there? Because all that money they make in TV deal, that ultimately just goes to the schools anyway. Are you saying now you're going to take a stake of that and less goes to the schools? Big 12's not going to do that. The schools wouldn't let them do that. So I think that's the part of this that doesn't make total sense to me, is, and I'm sure that there is something somewhere. I don't understand what the equity would have to gain in the league itself versus the schools specifically. Like, private equity to Florida State right now makes all the sense in the world to me, because you go in, you front them the money for their buyout, and you take whatever the predetermined amount is back on the revenue they would get by joining the Big Ten or the SEC or the whatever, you know, like that. That to me, that maths out much simpler and is much easier to follow. The leagues themselves don't make as much sense to me. I mean, I'm not saying that they don't have, of course they do, but I don't know what it would be. The naming rights are pretty simple, right? You're the, you know, the Phillips 66, which is, I think, who does the tournament, right? You're the Phillips 66 Big 12. Okay. That one to me tells me that there probably wasn't the kind of buyer that Brett Yormark wants, because I don't know what would hold them back from just selling the naming rights.
Right.
Nobody cares. Literally nobody cares, right? Nobody cares that it's the, you know, the Quick Trip Big 12 or whatever. Like, that's totally irrelevant, not a big deal. It wouldn't affect the branding or the impact of the league at all. Nothing. So that tells me they probably don't have a buyer, at least at the price that Brett Yormark values the league naming rights at. And I think he pretty much said that, right? Like, they know what it's worth and they don't want to sell it for less than that. But I think if they had the buyer for what they think it's worth, they'd sell it tomorrow. That tells me they don't have the buyer that they want, right? It's all that one's a little simpler, I think, to understand than the equity part of this. I think they just don't have the price they want yet, so they're not going to sell it.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. I mean, you have to kind of read between the lines when they say, yeah, we're not really interested in pursuing that right now.
We have to protect this brand.
It means that you're not getting the valuation that you feel like you should right now.
Which is totally fine.
And I think that at some point, you probably will. I mean, I think as this continues to evolve and the world of college athletics continues to evolve, it wouldn't shock me if at some point they are able to get the valuation that they feel like is fair, just because things are changing every single day. We talked about it on the program yesterday and had a great conversation with Tim Fitzgerald about it. There's so much instability right now, because of, you know, some of the things that the SEC is saying and Greg Sankey is saying. Like, if I'm a private equity guy, I don't know if I really want to jump in right now until the dust is settled and I know which way is up, because there's so much happening right now. Unless I can get in on the ground floor, unless it's going to be cheaper and I can get in at a discount because of the instability. And that's, again, probably where Brett Yormark is saying, yeah, we're going to wait. We're going to wait until we can actually get more money.
The Big 12 doesn't need to be in a hurry on any of this. That's the beauty and the brilliance of what he did when he was hyper aggressive right out of the gates. is because they can now wait out this last settling of things. They're fine. The Big 12 is in great shape. They weren't squeezed out of the CFP, which we'll get to on the other side, and what, you know, what Yormark prefers and why he prefers it. Like, they didn't get the squeeze. They didn't get any of that. There's no rush for the Big 12 to do anything brash anymore unless it's further expansion. And I think all the talk of that has cooled significantly. And there are good reasons for it, right? You're going to have to revenue share. You're going to have to do this. Are the TV deals in the current economy? Are these networks lining up to go pay more money? Probably not. So it's the right time to just chill. And I think he's just going to chill for a minute. Like the rest of us are, right? We're all just sort of waiting. Like, what is this all? How does this all play out, right? Both in the landscape of the NCAA and the landscape of the global economy. Like, how do we, what's the other side of this? And when does that come? That's when you get aggressive again. Unless you've just got big stones and all the money in the world and you can go take advantage of it now, the Big 12's not in that position. None of these schools are, because they're about to have to share a lot of their revenue. They're the opposite of that. They're in a tight spot right now that they've got to figure out how in the world they're going to navigate it. That's the next settling of things. All right, when we come back, there's other, probably more interesting to most people, stuff about tournament expansion and what does Brett Yormark think about, you know, the format when it goes to 16 teams. What does he prefer? What does he think about the SEC and the Big Ten holding the power here? Honestly, he probably feels, I think, about the way we do about it. We'll tell you what we mean there. Jalen Thompson coming this hour as well. It is Sports Daily. It is a Friday. We're glad you're here with us. It's all Brockton Caster, Max Power producing. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is a Friday, and that means Tommy is going to walk us down the, what do they call it, the runway?
Yeah, it's the Friday Fit.
Twirl.
Yeah, the Friday Fit, our friends at 3570 Golf Co. We are smack dab at the beginning of the most beautiful golf weather of the year, and 3570 Golf Co., they are all about great golf apparel for this part of the country. I've had people ask me before, like, where can I find their apparel? Of course, you can go online, 35x70golfco.com. You can check out their full selection of shirts and of hoodies and head covers and hats and all the new arrivals and everything that they've got for your golf wardrobe. You can also find them at various golf shops around the city of Wichita. I know Flint Hills National, they carry some 3570 Golf Co. Merchandise. There are several other golf courses that do. And if you're going to the Wichita Open in a couple of weeks, they will have a pop-up shop. So you can go by there. And it's actually, I think, fairly close to where we're going to be set up doing our show live on Thursday and Friday. As you're going there enjoying all the great golf, you can go buy some of their merchandise. They'll have a pop-up shop there at Crestview during the Wichita Open. So if you want to find out more about them, go online, 35x70golfco.com, a local golf apparel company. We are so happy they're a supporter and partner of this program. And you can use the promo code Tommy on their website and get 10% off your first order.
There you go. 35-7. We appreciate that. Can't wait to see some of their stuff out there at the Open. Great sponsor. We appreciate all our sponsors here, and they're a great one. All right, let's continue the conversation, Tommy, about the Big 12. We can the Big 12 looking to, you know, continue the partnership with the WWE, which is fun. It's cool. They do the belt and they do a couple of things. Guess they're going to have shows in local markets ahead of big football games. They're going to try and time that out.
That's pretty cool.
Which is good. It's That's just pretty great. Cool. You put, yeah. you know, you put players and coaches in the audience and you get people fired up, and that crowd, the WWE has always been really, really, really good at that. And that's a cool connection, I think, for fans and players as much as it is anything else. So a couple other things out of this, you know, the meetings and all of these things. Let's start with football and the expanded playoff to 16 teams. Brett Yormark seems to want 5 plus 11, right? Not what we talked about, which is, what is it, 4, 4, 2, 2, and then 1, and then at large, that would leave 3, I think, at large, whatever it is. I still think that I got no problem with the Big 12 being guaranteed 2 teams. I just don't. You just go look. They don't. They almost never would have had more than 2 anyway. And there's a lot of years they'd only had 1 if you take out Texas and Oklahoma. So I think that there is plenty to be had. Now, his reasoning, I think he brought that up because he was asked about the conference championship game. And he said, you know, we still value that. We want to value that. We like the player way in scenario. I get it. I get it because there's a lot of money for the league in that championship game. But if we're talking about, you know, positioning yourself in that CFP, I just give yourself a championship game. And like we said, you know, or give yourself, I don't know how else you could do it. Give yourself a 1 versus 4 and 2 versus 3 and the 2 winners get in. I don't know what you can do to still like amplify that weekend. But this 5 plus 11 model, I think, is kind of dangerous for the Big 12. I do think that. And I don't think we see it yet because you're like, oh, yeah, I'd rather have 11 at-larges because I don't want 8 of the spots to be guaranteed to go to essentially the SEC and the Big 10. But the reality is they would most years anyway. If there are 11 at-larges, guess what? The vast majority of those are going to be Big 10 and SEC teams. And I think what can happen is, and then there are some years where you might only have 1 team in. And that's like last year would have been kind of one of, they'd been real close last year. I don't know that that's a better option. I really don't.
Yeah, I think really the biggest concern that I can see, and maybe part of the concern from Brett Yormark, is that, okay, we get two guaranteed in all of this. And that's fine for now, but we need to make sure that that's the way it stays long-term, permanently moving forward. Because at this point, like, what would stop the CFP and these conferences from implementing this model, and the Big 12 gets 2 guaranteed teams, and they do it for a year, and then they're all back to the table, and the SEC is like, you know what, we want more. And then we go through this all again the very next year. So I could see Brett Yormark, I could see the Big 12, I could see the ACC saying, look, like, we're okay with this model and the way that we're putting it together, and we feel good about the number of guaranteed auto bids we get and all of that, but we need to lock this in for X number of years so we don't revisit this every single year. We don't want to be going through this again and again and again, because I think that it could be a pretty slippery slope. And if you give a conference like the SEC an inch, there's a good chance they're going to take a mile.
I agree with that. And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what sort of agreement they're going to, I don't know.
We talked about this yesterday on the show, and I don't know if you caught this. Greg Sankey is saying the quiet part out loud now. I mean, he is like embracing being the villain in all of this. He flat out said, his quote was, I've got people in my ear who are asking me, why are we even part of the NCAA? And whether or not they're not going to leave, I don't think. I would be shocked if they do. But he's absolutely using that as leverage, right? Like, he's absolutely using that as a way to try to throw their weight around to get exactly what they want. And I don't fault him necessarily for doing that because
he's right.
They are the strongest, right? They're the big dog. They're at the top of the pile. They're at the top of the mountain. The concern is, can we get them locked into something that's agreeable and like at least somewhat equitable to where they're not coming back and doing this next year and the year after that and the year after that?
Yeah, I wonder because this one didn't last very long. It only lasted a year. It'll be 2 years.
2 years.
So it's a good point. I don't know, but everybody's just going to need to understand. And Brett Yormark does. He was asked about this and he said, I don't have any problem with them holding the pen. I just need them to do the right thing. Right. Because the reality is, they're more powerful in this situation. It's okay.
Fitz brought up a really good point yesterday when we were talking to him about this. He mentioned that really the key conference in all of this is the Big Ten because they hold a lot of power also, but they've not been vocal. Like they've let the SEC, they've let Greg Sankey be the villain and be kind of the front man for all of this. And Fitz brought up the point that he wouldn't be shocked if Brett Yormark and the ACC commissioner, if they're talking to the Big Ten, like, do you really want to go down this path with the SEC? Like, do you really want to, you really want to help light the match for the destruction of nationalization of college football? You know, because that's what the SEC is moving towards. I don't think it's going to happen either. It's all posturing, and that's okay. It's all posturing. But I do think that the Big Ten holds a pretty substantial key to all of this because they've not been vocal as far as being the villains in any of this.
So there's this, what's interesting is there is, like, if you eliminated the Big 12 and the ACC right now, the way that the Big 10 has positioned itself and the teams that it has brought in, you would have a national footprint geographically with only those two leagues. So
you wouldn't have it but you kind of would.
In theory and technically you would, but I think there is an absolute misconception and I think it's going away. And I think that's why the Big 12 and the ACC are included in everything now in those because I think as much as anybody wants to say anything, these guys are smart at what they do. They're very good. Greg Sankey is a good commissioner, right? Like he is great for their league. He's been at the forefront of all of this, right? You can not like the things that he does, but he does the right things for his league. He's very, very smart. Just like Brett Yormark's very, very smart. I think he knows in his heart that you cannot cut out the fabric of what makes college football, college football. You can't do it. Or it will hurt your product because you're going to take away from who and why they watch it. I think he knows that. That's why I don't think there's ever any talk of Greg Sankey is not saying we want 16 out of 16 spots. No, he's saying we'll give you four, but we're going to take eight.
Yeah. But look, I think that, and again, I think it's unlikely that this ever happens, but let's just say for argument's sake, hypothetically, that the SEC and the Big Ten decide, look, we're going to break away. Like we've got the power.
They can do that tomorrow.
We've got the national appeal kind of with teams on the West Coast, with the California teams that are now part of the Big Ten. So we're going to break away. We're going to do our own thing. They know, I mean, Greg Sankey at least, and I'm sure the Big Ten also knows this. There would be a network that would follow them immediately for that.
And if
they would, but I guarantee you, whether we're talking about ESPN, Fox, or otherwise, there would be a network, I do think long-term, that would support that. It could be Amazon Prime. It could be Netflix. There would be a network that would follow them.
In the short term.
I mean, I think in the long-term, too, they would.
The product will be fractured. If they ever did that, it would fracture. You know, it would be like, it would be.
What's the alternative?
Let me give you a weird comparison.
Think about it this way. let's say Prime Video is like, you know what? We're going to do a 10-year deal to air the SEC.
What
Big
happens
10.
In 11 years, though?
Okay, sure, we can talk about that then. But it's better than what the alternative is. Like, I mean, if that's the choice, it's either jump on board and be the rights holder for this or be the rights holder for nothing. They're going to do that every day of the week.
Right. That's a short-sighted. That'd be like, it's not exactly, but it's sort of like if in the NFL, there are more valuable franchises than the other ones, right? Let's say the top 10 franchises, you know, the equivalent, right? A third of it, or even if you wanted to take half, said, you know what? We really don't need the Jaguars. Why are we dealing with XY, like the bot? Let's just go do a different, we'll go do our own thing. You think that the networks are going to, like, they'll line up short term, but that league's not going to be as popular. And so, like, you have to, and I think this is why I think Greg Sankey is smart. If they were going to do this, they'd have already done it. They could have. Like, they could have already done this, but they haven't yet. Why? Because I think they know it's a bad idea. And so, what is then this settling? I think that now we're getting to the point where, and I've said this and I'll say it and I believe it, if there's representation for the Big 12 will be a winner. Because without Texas and Oklahoma, there was a real threat that the Big 12 would not have representation in this thing long term. So I agree with you. Let's put some time on it. Let's say, okay, if we go 4-4, 2-2, and 1, then we need assurances that this is going to be in place for, I mean, I would say 10 years,
I would
but
say
they'll
10
never
years
do that.
Too.
For 6 years. Like, give us this for 6 years. And we'll be good with it. And let's see what happens and let's see where this falls. And then the Big 12 can go get aggressive again, right? And maybe think about expansion. And the problem is, as much as you want to do that, the ACC is not going to last forever. They're going to blow up. So then you got to redo it again, right? So agree to it. That's fine. But in the back of your head, if you're Brett Yormark, you're thinking, all right, now next step. And maybe this is why I was asked about private equity. What do we have to do to go get some of the ACC? What do we have to do to make that merger happen, which would be the final chapter to ensuring placement for the Big 12 among all of this forever? If you had the joining of those two leagues, you'd have that, right? Or if you had the top end of that coming into the Big 12, you would have that at that point. So to me, that's still the top priority for the Big 12 when the time comes. But in the short term, if there will, because if they're giving you 5-11, there will be years that the Big 12 only gets one team in my opinion. It's going to happen. So if they're going to give me two and the chance for another with the at-larges, I'm taking that. I think it's a better deal for the Big 12. You're guaranteeing doubling your revenue from making it into the CFP, first and foremost. Like, they're giving you a guarantee that you're going to double it because you've got two teams in now instead of just one potentially. And you get two teams in instead of just one, which will happen if they go 5-11.
Yeah, in my mind, there is no scenario where the Big 12 would turn this down or where the ACC would turn this down. I mean, I think this is the...
But I can't figure out why they like 5+11 better.
I think this is the best offer that they're going to get. And so I think you take it as long as, again, going back to what we originally said, as long as you can get some clarity and a commitment to do this long term from the other conferences. I don't want to do this every single year. If I don't want to do it every single year, I guarantee you that Brett Yormark doesn't want to do this every single year and have these conversations like, okay, what are we going to do this year with the seating? What's the CFP going to look like now? Lock it in. Let's have some stability and let's move forward for a while where we don't have to worry about this and have this discussion all the time.
In 2024, and I agree with you, and I think the SEC and the Big Ten would like to have the flexibility to redo it all the time. It's 16 teams. In 2024, the Big 12 would have had one team in. In 2023, just looking at this, and I'm only looking at the current teams that are in the league, not where they were when this happened, which is, I get it. That's not like totally... There's no better way to do it, I don't think. They'd had one in, right? It had been Arizona in 2023. 2022, that was TCU's year,
yeah.
I think, that they got through. So you had TCU.
And K-State
would have been. So there's two, right? You'd have had the two that they're guaranteeing you anyway. 2021, they would have had, of the current teams in, they would have had Baylor. They would have had BYU. There's two. How much further do we need to go back on this thing? I mean, we're almost 5 years back now. They never would have had more than two teams in. Take the two. There are years where you only have one. Take the two. That's what I can't figure out, why they don't like
it. They will. They will.
But they're all saying they want 5-11. And is it only, back to full circle on this, is it only because they want to make the Big 12 championship game seem like it means more? That's a stupid reason. You're going to get, like, people are going to watch and people are going to come to the Big 12 championship if there is not only that thing on the line. Like, they're still going to come. It's fun. Like, people are going to watch it. It still means something to be the Big 12 champion. It doesn't, you know, look at the Big 12 basketball championship. Very well attended. There might be seven teams that are going to make it in. It doesn't mean anything, but it's still a championship, right? I think we're overthinking it. Take the two teams. Most years, that would be a good deal for the Big 12, especially without Texas and Oklahoma.
You know, I'm looking at an article now that came out yesterday from ESPN where, you know, the 5-11 is apparently gaining traction among leaders of all the conferences right now. So that's interesting to me.
The SEC and the Big Ten can so clearly game the rankings, you're giving them too much power to get 11 at-larges. You just are. Like, it's too easy for them to say, well, we played the toughest schedule, when they only play themselves, right? Like, it's too easy for that to happen. It makes me crazy. It's not that big a deal.
So your
as long
mark,
as Big 12 gets one team in.
Your Mark gave a quote to ESPN about the 5-11. He said, it has always been our first choice. It's fair and rewards on-field performance. I'm not surprised that SEC coaches like it. Well, of course they do. That's not the question, whether or not they like it. Why do you like it? Why does the ACC like it? That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Because they think they're going to get strong-armed if they can only get two in. But again, and this isn't even as much, the ACC would be more negatively affected by this than the Big 12. As much as I hate to admit it, they have bigger football brands right now in the ACC. They just do. I don't like it, but it's reality. I wouldn't like it if I were the ACC, but I'd damn sure like it if I was the Big 12. That's just my opinion. I don't really care. Just as long as we get one in, that'll make me happy enough.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider, is here with us on this Friday. We're glad to have him. It is, well, it's big series, Jalen. It's the biggest one we've had yet this year. Probably the biggest one they'll play for the next month or so. It's the Tigers. And I don't know. I think now's the best time, right? Now, there's never been a better time for this team to clutch back up. We were talking about this earlier in the show. Like, it's interesting because it's felt like Salvi and Vinny and all, like, those guys are coming back to their average pretty, I mean, almost across the board, other than Salvi hits more doubles than home runs now. Mm-hmm. Bobby Witt Jr.'s power is down, but it's really this, like, it's this clutch thing that they just haven't found. That's the difference right now. It's just like they're unclutch. Is that something you see changing? Is that just a law of averages? They were probably over clutch last year and now they're unclutch this year. Is there a middle ground, and like, how much better can just that make this offense?
I think there is a middle ground, but also I think a lot of it has to go to, like, last year, Vinny Pasquantino hit 360 with runners in scoring position. Salvi had a really high mark as well. Well, this year they're hitting 197 and 229 before Wednesday's game when I last checked it. And I'm sure those numbers are probably went down, considering that, you know, they weren't the guys to drive in those runs in Wednesday's victory. So when you look at those two guys in particular, they are the key. You know what Bobby Witt Jr. is going to do. The power's not there this year, but he can have a strong week and he'll be right back in the discussion for the MVP race and things like that. So he's always going to have an all-star season. But the two guys that you mentioned, Vinny and Salvi, those are the two that have to get this offense to go where they want to go. And they've been hitting well of late, but in those clutch situations, that's where they're going to have to really make their mark, because the Royals cannot keep winning games 3-2 or 2-1. They have to go out and score 5, 6, 7 runs to really feel comfortable about making a run to get back into the divisional race and also the wild card standings as well.
Let's talk about Noah Cameron for a little bit, Jalen. We had you on Tuesday. It was before he made his start this week. I think we all kind of, you know, wait for this guy to come back down to earth a little bit, because he's performing through his first 4 MLB starts at a level that we haven't seen ever in Major League Baseball. You have to go back to the late 1800s to find another pitcher that has pitched as deep into a game and given up as few runs as he has through their first 4 MLB starts. And the kind of production is incredible. He looks like he's the real deal. What are you seeing from him?
Oh, he's the real deal. He is the real deal, and he'll tell you that he wants to be the real deal. He loves the spotlight. He loves to pitch on the grandest of stages, and it doesn't faze him at all. He's very confident in what he likes to do on the mound and how he likes to attack hitters. And I think that it just oozes out of him when you see him be able to not really have his fastball, but use off-speed pitches to still give up one run over 6 in 2/3 innings. He is a guy that the Royals really like, they really love. But the problem, and it's not really a problem, but it's a dilemma that they have right now. They have 6 starting pitchers. So somebody won't be pitching in that starting rotation. And they might not want to do it, but it's a possibility that he could be sent back down to AAA when everybody's fully healthy. You got Seth Lugo going today. You're going to have Cole Reagans potentially going to rehab assignment and come back within a week or so. So they have to figure out what do they want to do with Noah Cameron. But he certainly earned and deserves to be up in the major leagues. So it's a problem that they're going to have to solve. But if it was me, I'm keeping them up here.
Doesn't it make sense? Do they have any appetite, Jalen, with Lugo and Reagans both now spending time on the IL? Reagans probably should have been on the IL twice now. Do they not have an appetite to roll with a 6-man rotation? Or simply put Lorenzen in the bullpen, because he hasn't been very good in a while?
Yeah, both of those options are going to be on the table. I think that with a 6-man rotation right now, they really don't have a long stretch of games without an off day.
That's true.
In June, they're going to have every Monday off, basically, so you can get away with not having a 6-man rotation. But I think that could be something that's on the table. Also, you got to look at, do you want to rest Chris Bubich some, because he's tracking to pitch a career high in innings. And, you know, while he's been good and he's been Cy Young quality good so far, but how long would that last? Can he make it go the entire season? You mentioned Cole Reagans. He's been injured with the groin. You know, that's something that just doesn't go away. That can flare up at any moment. So how do you kind of manage him? I think Seth Lugo, he's going to be pitching with the right middle finger inflammation. I think he'll be fine, but, you know, that could flare up too. So, you know, there are certain things that they have to consider. And I think going to a 6-man might be on the table. Also, Michael Lorenzen, like you said, he has experience pitching out of the bullpen too. Yeah. So that could be on the table as well.
I thought it was kind of interesting, Jalen, that the series against the Reds, there was a situation in one of the games late when Matt Quatrero did not go to Lucas Ercig in the bullpen, and he had Estevez work longer. I think it was in the finale. Was that on Wednesday's game? I believe it was.
Yeah.
When they did that, you know, Ercig has been a little shaky as of late, probably the shakiest that we've seen him in a Royals uniform thus far. Was that a one-time thing in your mind, or are there some legitimate concerns about Ercig?
Oh, there's no concerns about Ercig. He didn't pitch on Wednesday because he was sick. So they stayed away from him because, you know, he just wasn't feeling well. And really, over the last week, the Royals have had some guys that just haven't been feeling well with the stomach bug. So
personal space.
Yeah, it's kind of like just, it's been going through the clubhouse.
That makes more sense. That's good to know. Before we start to preview the series this weekend, I do want to ask you about CAGs. The last time we talked, which was Monday, I think, I did not realize at that point we were all so enamored, at least I was, with the things he was doing at the plate. I guess the Royals are finally putting him out in the outfield some, which is an easy excuse for them to wait. I mean, I get it. Is that real? Like, how much of that is he doing, and how real are the chances that's how he gets a path in? Because if he can play an outfield spot, now you add him to the middle of the lineup, and I think that's even more attractive, as we've talked about all year long.
Yeah, it's real. The Royals want him to learn the outfield. They've even sent Rusty Kuntz, longtime coach in the system, to go and help him in AAA. Awesome. They have him out there 3 days a week. They're probably going to up that up a little bit more in the upcoming days and weeks. But they want him to learn the outfield, because they know that that's where he will have to play if he's going to come to the major league level. I mean, Vinny Pasquantino's at first base. He's not going anywhere. So they have to figure out where he is going to play. So it's good that he's learning right field and he has a little experience in left field. So that can give them a little versatility of where they want to place him. But the key for Jack Caglione is going to be, he has to stop chasing the baseball every time he's up at the plate. When he connects, it's loud and it goes over the fence, or it's 110 miles per hour on the ground. But sometimes that he likes to be aggressive and chase the baseball a lot. So when he gets to the big leagues, pitchers are going to know that, and they're going to just throw him nothing but off speed and things that they want him to chase. So
is it, when we're looking for that, is it more about seeing him walk or not seeing him strike out? Like, which of those? I know that's really, that's like the final step for a hitter. Is it just walks? Like, would they need to see him walk some because it's showing he's being selective?
Yeah, I think you need the walks to be up, because it's the plate discipline, you know? Just everybody's going to strike out. I mean, when you come to the big leagues, you're going to strike out. That's just what you have to expect. But can you work a count? Can you get in favorable positions where that you can use your power to your advantage? Like right now, he hits home runs because pitchers make mistakes in AAA and he's hitting all the mistake pitches. Or he's getting in a count where the ball's over the plate and he's just not missing it. But what happens when he is just not a tick there? And he's got to be able to use his advantage of seeing the play, seeing the whole picture before hitting the baseball. Then that's kind of what they want to see him take, those next steps. And I think he can get there. I think he can get there. The question is going to be, how long do they wait? And do you allow him to learn that in the major leagues because your team needs him? Or do you hope that the big leagues squad can start hitting the baseball better, and then you bring him up and allow him to learn when the team is running well?
This is a huge weekend series for the Royals at home against the division leader Tigers, one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. And the Royals are going to be up against a couple of really good pitchers in Casey Mize tonight, Tarek Skubal on Saturday. They've got a great rotation themselves, and you know, Chris Bubich will pitch on Sunday. You've got Lugo back on the bump tonight, and Michael Wacha on Saturday. What are some of the keys in your mind? I know we've talked a lot about the offense, driving in runs, doing what they can do, but you're up against a couple of really good pitchers this weekend against Detroit.
I think that if the Royals want to make a jump in the AL Central, they gotta make some hay this weekend, like you said, against the Tigers. You have three games against them. You're facing their best pitchers. I think that this weekend you have to make a statement and say that, hey, we're not going anywhere. We're right here. Like you said, they have their best pitchers going, and the Royals have arguably some of their best pitchers going as well. So I really like the matchup. Did you say it was Skubal and Bubich, I believe?
Yep.
That's going to be really great to see.
No, not head to head.
Yeah, not head to head. No. Okay, Skubal is on Saturday. Bubich is pitching on Sunday.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, but to see both of those guys would be great to see where they're going to be at this season. But I think, like you said, this is a series where the Royals have to prove that they're in this, because if they don't play and perform well, they could easily slide further and further back in the division, and that's not where they want to be.
To the tune of 10 games, if it doesn't go well. Jalen, that series begins tonight. We're looking forward to it. We appreciate it. And let's do this again next week.
Yeah, let's do it. Thank you guys so much. See you then.
There goes Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider, beat reporter for the KC Star. Find him at Jalen Thompson. Love it. I thought that was right. And we've talked about it. Watch Cags's walks. See if he can walk. He's not striking out at an abnormal rate, but he's not walking at all. So that was good to, at least he wasn't, I haven't checked his stats this week. So I should look at that. But yeah, you gotta get the plate discipline is that last thing. And sometimes I think teams are more willing to bypass that. But if the Royals are trying to, let's be honest, make excuses to keep him down just a little bit longer, that's an easy one to look at. Learning the outfield is an easy one to look at. It's all working itself out correctly, I think. But man, I love seeing him play the outfield. Because now he really helps them if he comes up as an outfielder. Now you don't have this dilemma that they could potentially face. All right, that'll do it. It's a fun Friday show. It's pretty easy to get excited about this series coming up here. So the Royals will play tonight against Detroit, 7 o'clock pregame coverage, and then the special broadcast, don't miss it, over on KEYN, Riverfest's opening night fireworks at 10:45 tonight. Late night fireworks.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got the Sundown Parade tonight. I'll be judging that tonight, so if you're downtown, come by and say hi. We'll be judging the floats.
Are you taking bribes?
As far as you know, I'm not, but
not officially.
Not okay. Officially.
Just keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind. All right. We'll see everybody Monday. It'll be TJ in for Tommy. Thanks for being with us today. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.